All right, Rabosai, good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is daf Dalid. Remember, we have a lot to do today. Yasher Koach to everyone. Baruch Hashem for being here at 5:45. I just want to mention, we actually do start learning every day 5:45. Baruch Hashem, there is Mesilas Yisharim at 5:45. And amazing. I thought perhaps it was impossible for certain people to be at this time. Now you've shown yourselves that you could actually be here at 5:45. Baruch Hashem. So halavai mir Hashem, we'll have a nice, wonderful olam from Mesilas Yisharim. That's not me. Said told me to announce that. That wasn't.
Changing the time so we have longer nights.
That's it. Baruch Hashem. All right, so what's this? We're picking up Gimel Amud Beis 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines up from the bottom. The Kavah Chomer. A little bit in the middle of a discussion. So remember, again, the Gemara went back to the idea that, remember, that we have for Tumah, for Eidlus for Tumah, all you need is the Eid Echad. Contrast this, of course, with Kinui, with the warning, and the Stira, and the seclusion which required two. So the Gemara is trying to work through this discussion. The Kavah Chomer, the Eidlus HaRishona. So the Gemara says, I don't understand why we can't make a Kavah Chomer to the Eidus HaRishona. Now, in this context, we're going to see what Rishona means over here is Stira. The Gemara says, Uma Eidus HaAchrona Sha'osarte Isra Olam Miskayemes Be'edechod, the final Eidus, which refers to Tumah, asers the woman to her husband forever, and yet that Eidus can be upheld with one Eid. Eidus HaRishona, the first Eidus, which again, we're referring to means Stira, Eidus Rishona She'in Osarte Isra Olam Ein Odin She'tiskayem Be'edechod. Doesn't it go without saying that Lamaisa it should be upheld with only one witness? Talmud Lomar, Ki Matza Ba Ervas Dover. Therefore, the Pasuk says, because it was found in her some matter of immorality. Ulahalonu Omer, Apish Ne'idim O Apish Losha Idim Yakum Dover. So, Mar says, oh, we'll say this is the famous Gezer Shava, right? The one you've been waiting for. The Gezer Shava of Dover Dover from Erva to Mamon. That teaches us again from matters of morality to matters of money, that Zirshav Dover Dover teaches us, just like matters of financial matters require two witnesses, so too Dover, so too matters of immorality also require two witnesses. Mad Dover Amr La'ala Pishnaim Eidim, just like matters of finance, or financial matters, monetary matters require two Eidim. Afkan Apishnaim, so too over here by matters of morality, we also need two Eidim. So Gemara says, one second. Hai michi matza ba ervas davar nafka. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that Lamaisa, the way we learn out that Kinui and Stira require two witnesses is because of the Gzer Shava of Dover Dover from Mamon. So the Gemara says, is that true? That's not where we learn it out from. We learn out, michi matza ba ervas davar nafka, mi ba nafka. Ba velo bikinui, ba velo bistira mibarile. Supposed to remember again, we spoke about this earlier, this is how we started out this Masechta. The way we learn out that Tumah only has one aid, it only requires one aid, versus kinui and stira, which require two, comes from where? Comes from the drasha in the word ba. Remember again, the aid in ba, which we darshan, there's not even one witness there, which tells us that lemaisa, again, when it comes to Tumah, Eid Echad is sufficient, but for Kinui and Stira you require two. But yet here the Gemara is making it sound like, where are we learning this out from? The Gzer Shava. Hachinami Kamar. The Gemara says, Tamil Omar, Ba V'la B'Kinui, Ba V'la B'Stira. So Inachinami, you're right. The truth is, where do we learn out, Rabosai, that Eid Echad is sufficient by Tumah, but not sufficient by Kinui and Stira? We learn that out from the word Ba. Ba teaches us that by Tumah, again, Rabosai, remember, we did this Drasha. Ba teaches us that by Tumah, all you need is Eid Echad. But it's only by Tumah that you need Eid Echad. By Kinui and Stiri, you require two. But the Gemara is asking an additional piece. The Tumah ba'alma below Kinui below Stira. T'lo behemen Eid Echad minalan. Rabosai, how do we know, let's say, in a non-sota context. In a non-sota context, let's say there's a situation where a husband did not give his wife kinoi no stira. But what happens? An Eid Echad comes along and says, I saw Mrs. So-and-so commit adultery. Eid Echad, again, not in the context of sota, just stan eidos. So the Gemara says, how do we know that an Eid Echad like that is not believed? So the Gemara says, Ne'emar kan, bless you, Ne'emar kan ki matza ba ervas davar, bless you, Ve'ne'emar lahalona pishne eidim o pishloshe eidim yakum davar. Oh, so it says by matters of morality, ki matza ba ervas davar, a man will find some matter of immorality within his wife. And then it says by monetary law, that on the testimony of two or three witnesses, yakum davar. So we'll say davar, davar, gzer shava. Ma davar ha'amr la'alon edim shnayim. So just like by matters of by financial matters, you require two witnesses, afkan edim shnayim. So too over here, when it comes to matters of morality, we also require two witnesses. So also it says, turns out that something very interesting over here. So the Gemara is suggesting is like this. So now what we've established is that halacha lemaisa in the sota context, you need two witnesses for kinui, the warning, two witnesses for stira, the seclusion. But if there is an eid echad about tumah, an eid echad that says she actually committed adultery, remember, that's never enough to have someone executed for violation of morality. But what it does is it shuts down the sota process. She can't drink the waters. The husband must divorce her. She loses the ksuva. But that is a novelty by sota. Because remember, again, the Gemara's logic was, since there's raglayim ledavar, since, again, remember, this is happening in a totally different framework, therefore, eid echad carries a little bit more weight. But stam eid echad shows up and says, I saw Mrs. So-and-so go ahead and commit adultery. So what's the status of that eid echad? Nothing. Well, so you should know, again, we don't have time for it today. But somebody should just keep a running list of all the things I say we don't have time for. So one day maybe we'll have time for. This is fascinating because this has major ramifications where, let's say, you have a situation where someone admits to committing adultery. So what's the status? What's the impact of that admission upon one's marriage or an eid echad? Someone tells the husband, I saw you have to so-and-so. So again, these are, unfortunately, maisim b'chol yom. These things happen. And the halachic impact on a marriage is quite interesting. Again, we'll file it. We'll keep it in mind. So let's define our terms a little bit. So what is the first eidos? The first eidos is eidos stira. Again, even though logically we always think that eidos rishona refers to the kinui, in this context it refers to the stira. Eidos achrona, what about the last eidos? Zu eidos tuma. This refers ultimately, again, to the eidos, ultimately, that she actually committed adultery. Top of dalet. The kamashir stira. And I'm about to say, now we're going to spend a little bit of time on this. So now, what is the shir for stira? In other words, what the Gemara is asking is the following. That obviously, if a woman is alone with a man, right? Remember the process. Husband warns his wife, I don't want you to be alone with Ploni. She violates the warning. She's alone with Ploni in front of two witnesses. How long does she have to be alone with Ploni in order for us to say that she is in violation of the warning? What's the sheer stira? To which the Gemara says, Kedei Tuma, the amount of time that it would take for defilement, which means what? Kedei Bia, the amount of time for Bia, which means what? Kedei Hara, the amount, I will define that term in just a moment, which means Kedei Hakafas Dekel, the amount of time it takes ultimately to circle around the palm tree. Divi Rabbi Yishma, these are the words of Rabbi Yishma. So what's happening here? Take a look at Rashi. Tap Rashi. Kedei Tuma. Umahu kidei tuma. So the Gemara says, what is, so again, we understand that she has to be alone with this man for enough time for something to have occurred. So what is it that has to occur? To which the Gemara says, kidei bia. It's the amount of time for bia. Now, what does kidei bia mean, Rabbi Yosef? So the Gemara says, umahu kidei bia, kidei ha'ara, dahainu nishikas ever ba'osu makom. So we'll say, bia, as we're going to see, does not mean the completion of the act, but rather bia means the beginning of the act. Where the Rashi defines this as the male organ touches the female organ, the beginning of the maisa bia. The kamashiura, how much time does this take? The Gemara says, kedea kafas dekel, the amount of time that it takes to go ahead and walk around the palm tree. Sheyuchal ha'adam lelech sivivos ha'dekel. Fine. So we'll say this is the position of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kedei Meziga Sakos. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, if she's alone with him for the amount of time that it takes to dilute a cup of wine. We'll say, see, you know, it's interesting. So for us, he's like, come on, why don't you just tell us like 5 seconds or 10 seconds? So understand that for them, these were meaningful shiurim, right? For us, we're racking our brains. How long does it take to walk around the palm tree? So remember, when Chazal use this, they also go ahead and remember this. These are also good memory techniques. Because if you associate a shiur with a particular event, then by definition, a little bit easier to remember it. So Kedei Meziga Sakos, Rabbi Yeshua Omer Kedei Lishtoso. Rabbi Yeshua says, the amount of time it takes to drink the cup of wine. Ben Aze Omer, Kedei Litzlos Besa, the amount of time it takes to roast an egg. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Kedei Lagoma, the amount of time it takes to swallow an egg. Rabbi Yosef, understand, by the way, their eggs, Talmudic eggs, you're thinking about swallowing an egg, right? So it's probably the amount of time it takes to swallow the egg and have someone do the Heimlich on you. The idea, remember, their eggs were smaller. We know that because of the shear. The Talmudic shear of Kebetz and Kezayis is different than our Beitzim and our Zaysim. In any event, the amount of time it takes to swallow an egg. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm sorry. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseira Omer, Kedei Ligmoa Shalosh Beitzim. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says the amount of time it takes to swallow three eggs, zuachar zu, one after the other. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yirmiyah Omer, kedei likshar gardei neima. In order, we'll say if you have a ripped thread, the amount of time it takes a weaver to go ahead and tie the two ends of the string together. Chanan ben Pinchas Omer, kedei shetoshet yad lesochpia. Little kisam. The amount of time it takes for her to stick her hand into her mouth and to remove kisam literally means a splinter. What it really means in this context is a toothpick, right? That if she put a toothpick in her mouth, the amount of time it takes to put her hand in and to take the toothpick out. Plimo Omer, Kadesh Toshi Dad Lasal Little Kikar. So Plimo said the amount of time that it takes her to reach her hand into a basket and to take the loaf of bread. Ava Pishin Raya Ladavar. And even though, again, you're saying, where do you get that shear from? Even though there's no Raya that this is the shear. Zecher ledavar. So we'll say zecher ledavar means there's a scriptural allusion to this. What's the allusion? Ki ba'adi shazona ad kikar lechem. Because the pasuk in Mishlei says literally on behalf or because of the harlot until the loaf of bread. So we'll discuss what that pasuk means a little bit later in the Gemara. The point that what is this that Palimo is making is that you see the connection between znus and bread. So Gemara goes weiter. So why do I need all of these different shiurim? Right? Why do I need all of these different shiurim? To which the words, I'll tell you why. Because we'll say, remember, what we're thinking to ourselves is, why didn't the Gemara just stop right after the first line? The Gemara said, V'kama shir stira. How long is stira? To which the Gemara answers, k'dei tuma. Done. So the Gemara says, no, it's not done. I'll tell you why. Because had the Gemara just said, k'dei tuma, hava amina, k'dei tum'asa va'arutzasa. I might have thought that it's the amount of time, not only for the actual act of bia, but what arutzasa v'asa means, the process of seduction. The assumption is that the man has to convince the woman to engage in this immoral act, and perhaps the amount of time that it takes for him to seduce her is also part of the shear of stira. Kamash malon. Kamash Malon, therefore the Gemara teaches us, no, k'dei bia, that the amount of time, so to speak, for seduction does not factor into this. I have itan k'dei bia, and if it would have just said k'dei bia, hava amina k'dei gimar bia, I'm a thorabosai. So remember, had the Gemara just said, what's the shir of stira? K'dei bia. So I would have assumed that, what does that mean? The amount of time that it takes, not just to begin the act, but what? To complete the act. Which I will say will be, of course, a longer shear. So the Gemara says, Kamash Malon, no. Kedei Ha'ara. Therefore, the Gemara teaches us that, no, it's not the longer shear of the amount of time that it takes to complete the act, but rather, again, Kedei Ha'ara, which is the amount of time that it takes to begin the act. What they call Neshikas Eivarim, the touching of their two bodies. So the Gemara says, V'iyashmu inon Kedei Ha'ara. And if it would have just taught me about Kedei Ha'ara, that, again, the shear is Tchilas, what we call Tchilas Bia, the beginning of Bia, Hava amina k'dei ha'ara v'arutzasa. Again, I would have thought that perhaps it's the amount of time again for the beginning of bia, but yes, but also with the necessary seduction. Kamash malon k'dei tuma. Therefore, again, the Yimar teaches us that no, it's only k'dei tuma, meaning the amount of time for seduction is not factored in. The kama k'dei ha'ara. So, just in general, so what is the amount of time? So now, what this all boils down to is that the shear for stira is the amount of time that it takes for the male organ to touch the female organ. That's for what we call tchilas bia. So again, good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Mr. Schoenfeld. Oh, here's a chair. Need a chair. Nachum will take care of it. So what happens? So again, tchilas bia. So we'll say, so again, so now the Gemara says that. So what is that shear? So what is that shear? To which the Gemara says, k'dei hakafas dekel. So we'll say, so how much time is that? That is the amount of time that it takes to go ahead and walk around. I should put it over here on the other side. The amount of time that it goes at the amount of time that it takes to walk around the palm tree. So we'll say, so that's the original shear. So the Gemara says the following. Or minhi. Most people don't get a welcome like this. I just want to tell you this is Or minhi. So the Gemara, you're also on camera, by the way. You're being seen around the world. So the Gemara says, or minhi. So the Gemara raises the kasha. Vinistira. So the Gemara says, you got to remember, what does vinistira mean? So we'll say, so now, remember what we have so far. looks like we have a working definition, namely the amount of time, the shear for stira is kedei tuma, and kedei tuma is kedei ha'ara, which is the initiation, the beginning of bia. Fine. So the Gemara says, or maybe let's ask Akasha. Benistra, the pasuk says that she's alone with this man about whom her husband warns her about. Bekama shir stira, how much is the shear for stira? Lo shamanu. So the truth is, again, remember, the Torah just uses this lashon. The Torah doesn't define for us the shear. However, kishu omer vehi nitma. Remember again, the Torah says v'nistira v'hi nitma. But this is a very important qualification. So have omer kedei tuma, kedei bia, kedei ha'ara, kedei chazaras dekel divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So this is going to be another brisa, and we're going to see this brisa is going to record another set of shirim. Now I just want to point out to you why this ambiguity comes out, why there is this machlokes, because the Torah itself, the Torah could have just said that what happens. Bless you. Torah could have just said that the wife violates the warning, v'nistra, she's alone. Now, had the Torah just said v'nistra, then what? I would have known that the shear for stira is quite possibly what? Any amount. But the fact that the Torah qualifies that and then follows up and says v'nitma'a indicates to us that it has to be a stira in which there is capability or which there is a possibility that tuma occurred. That's where, again, the Gemara is trying to figure out what is the most basic shira. First of all, how do we define tuma? And this is very important because we will say, remember, this also constitutes what defines bia, which is a very, very important halachic discussion that we're going to discuss for a variety of reasons. That doesn't just have implications here. That has implications for, let's say, we don't do this anymore today. But remember, again, first Mishnah, Maseches Kiddushin, that we know that, again, that three ways in which you could affect Kiddushin, one of them is bia. So again, we don't do that today. We don't affect Kiddushin through bia. But Lamaisa, what's the definition of bia? So this is all coming together over here. So the Gemara says, now, same Braisa. So you have Rabbi Eliezer who says that the shir is kedei tuma, kedei bia, kedei hara, kedei chazar as dekel. These words are Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua says, kedei mizigas kos. So we'll say, see now, just to give you a heads up what's happening here, the Gemara is going to quote a second Braisa, and in the second Braisa, the opinions quoted in the second Braisa seem to contradict the opinions quoted in the first Braisa, even though what? They're quoted by the same people. So we're going to quote the second Braisa, then we're going to reconcile the two Braisos. So the Gemara says, Benazai amar kedei l'shtoso. Benazai says the amount of time that it takes to drink a cup of wine. Rabbi Akiva amar kedei litzlos pesa. Rabbi Akiva says the amount of time that it takes to go ahead and roast an egg. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira amar kedei l'goma. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, no, the amount of time that it takes to swallow an egg. Kasaka daitcha hanuk hainu akafas dekel hainu chazar. Let's go back for just a moment. The first sheet that we quoted was Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer in the first brisa said that the shear of ha'ara, which is neshikasar and the touching of the male and female organs, is the amount of time kedei hakafas dekel, the amount of time that it takes to walk around the palm tree. In the second brisa, he used the lashon of what? Kedei chazaras dekel, which literally means the returning of the palm tree. So at first glance, we could say, the truth is, hainu akavas dekel, hainu chazaras dekel. Maybe it's not such a big deal. It's just two different names for the same shear. To which the Gemara says, hainu akafas dekel, hainu chazaras dekel. So the Gemara says, Amar Bishmal, kedei hakafas dekel, upalig Rabbi Eliezer alei. Hacha Amar Rabbi Eliezer kedei chazaras dekel. So we'll say, so listen to this, to which the Gemara says, Hasam Rabbi Shmuel kedei hakafas dekel, upalig Rabbi Eliezer alei, upalig Rabbi Eliezer alei. So we'll say, beforehand, the Gemara said, Rabbi Shmuel said kedei hakafas dekel, and Rabbi Eliezer argued on him. Hacha Amar Rabbi Eliezer kedei chazaras dekel. And over here in this particular brisa, Rabbi Eliezer is putting forward a different shear, ultimately of chazaras dekel. To which the Gemara says, so what is that different shear? Amar Abaye hakafa beregel chazara beruach. So also Abaye actually posits that hakafas dekel and chazaras dekel are two different shiurim. Hakafas dekel is the amount of time that it takes you to walk around the palm tree on foot. Chazaras dekel Rabosai is the amount of time, chazara beruach. If the palm tree is blown in the wind, it's the amount of time that it takes for the palm tree to blow back and forth. So the Gemara says, okay, once we give that definition, boi ravashi, chazara beruach, kihechi da'azol v'hadar asi, odilma kihechi da'azol v'asi v'hadar kai beduchte. So when we say the amount of time that it takes for the palm tree to blow back and forth, so remember, what does that mean? back and forth, but still at movement, or the amount of time it takes for it to move back and forth and to come to total rest. I will say those are two, again, sounds like semantics, but those are two different shiurim. Because again, remember, when the tree blows back and forth, even if it's not actively blowing back and forth anymore, it's still a maysa moving. It's not at rest. So is it when it just goes back and forth, or is it when it actually comes to rest, which the Gemara says, teku, not sure. Hasam Amar Rabbi Elazar. So I'm going to say now, this is very exciting because now the Gemara is going to contrast the shitos in the two braisos. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, kedei mezigas hakos. Excuse me. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, kedei mezigas hakos. Hacha kedei chazaras dekel. So remember again, I will say over here, Rabbi Eliezer said that it's the amount of time, stira is the amount of time that it takes to dilute. Remember again, we've spoken about this a number of times. They used to have wine concentrate. We should do this at the Siyum on no? You got it, okay. I'm not allowed to make wine suggestions. Got it. I heard there's going to be some Kadem selections. Okay, so the idea of us is Malaga. So the idea over here is they used to have wine concentrate. So remember again, Kadem Zigas HaKos means the amount of time that it takes to take the wine concentrate and dilute it. So here, Rabbi Elazar said, that's the amount of time for Tumah. But yet again, Hacha Kadeh Chazar HaStek. I'll be in the first price. So he said what? The amount of time that it takes to walk around the palm tree. So which one is it? To which the Gemara says, easy answer, idivi idi chachi urhu. It's one shear. Hasam ab Rabbi Yeshua kedei l'shtoso, hacham kedei mezigas hakos. So in the first place, Rabbi Yeshua said, it's the amount of time that it takes to drink the cup of wine. And here in this price, he said the amount of time that it takes to dilute the cup of wine. Ema kedei limzog v'lishtos. What Rabbi Yeshua means to say is it's the amount, it's both shiurim. It's the amount of time that it takes to dilute the wine and to drink it. Why don't you say they're both one shiur? Im kein hainu Rabbi Eliezer. Then if it does that, then it turns out that Rabbi Yeshua is in fact saying the same thing as Rabbi Eliezer. Hasim amar ben azai kedei litzlos beisaha amar kedei lishtoso. So we'll say in the previous price, ben azai said, it's the amount of time that it takes to roast an egg. And here he said the amount of time that it takes to drink it. So idivi, to which the Gemara answer is not a contradiction. Idivi idi chachiuru. That is one shear. Hasim amar Rabbi Akiva kedei lagomahaha amar kedei litzlos beisaha. So remember again, here Rabbi Akiva said, in the first price, Rabbi Akiva said, the amount of time that it takes to swallow an egg. Here he said the amount of time that it takes to roast it. I ema kedei litzlos beisa ulagoma. Say that what Rabbi Akiva meant is that the shear for tuma is the amount of time that it takes to roast the egg and to swallow it down. I velemi velema idivi idi chachi urava. Why don't you say who? Excuse me. Why don't you say that it's all one shear? Im kein. Hainu ben Azai. If that's the case, Rabbi Akiva is saying the same thing as ben Azai. Hasim am Rabbi Huda ben Beseir k'dei l'gmor shalosh beitzim zu achrazu. So in the first place, Rabbi Huda ben Beseir said, the shear for tumah is the amount of time that it takes to swallow three eggs one after the other. Hacha amar k'dei l'goma. But here he said it's just the shear that it takes to swallow one egg. To which Rabbi Huda ben Beseir says, to which the Gemara answers, the dvar of Rabbi Akiva kamar. Really, Rabbi Huda ben Beseir is actually answering Rabbi Akiva's shita. How so? Because we'll say, it turns out that Rabbi Akiva's shita is what? That the shear for tuma is the amount of time that it takes to go ahead and roast the egg and swallow the egg. To which Rabbi Huda ben Beseir says, Ema shear gmiya l'chuda. Rabbi Akiva, why would you go ahead and make your shita related to two independent acts, right? Rabbi Akiva is taking two independent acts and using them to form one shear. So the shear for tumah is the amount of time, according to Rabbi Akiva, that it takes to roast the egg and swallow the egg. Rabbi Huda ben Beseir says, Rabbi Akiva, if you notice, what we're trying to do is link the shear of tumah to what? To one act. But Rabbi Huda ben Beseir says, good news. Kedeima shear gemiyah l'chuda. Rabbi Akiva, I have good news for you. You want to say that the shear for tumah is the amount of time that it takes to roast the egg and to swallow the egg. I have good news for you. That's the same amount of time as what? That it takes to go ahead and swallow three eggs. Now, we both say if it's the same amount of time, what does it matter if you say the amount of time that it takes to swallow three eggs versus roasting an egg and swallowing an egg? The advantage is that swallowing the eggs is one act. So if we can give a shear that is related to one act as a shear that is a composite of the time frames of two acts, that's preferable to the Gemara. Rabbi Elazar ben Yirmiyah Omer, Kedei Shikshar Gardinema. So Elazar ben Yirmiyah said, the shear for tumah is the amount of time it takes for a weaver to tie the two ends of the string together. So is it a case where the two ends of the string are close to each other or far away from each other? Again, this all makes a difference. To which the Gemara says, take, we're not sure. Chanin ben Pinchas, Omer, k'desh toshitad l'soch pi alitol kisam. So remember, Chanin ben Pinchas says, he takes her to put her hand in her mouth and to take out the toothpick. By Rav Ashi, dibahadik adlomahadik. Is it where the toothpick is firmly embedded in her mouth or not? To which the Gemara says, take her. But remember, all of these things make a difference. To which the Gemara says, take, we're not sure. Plima Omer, k'desh toshitad l'sal litol kikar. So Plima said, the amount of time that it takes her to put her hand into the basket and to take the bread out of the basket. By Rav Ashi, dibahadik adlomahadik. What's the case? Is it a case where was the kikar, was the loaf firmly placed? You know, was it wedged into the basket or not? Becharata batika, is this a new basket or an old basket? Right, if it's an old basket, it's a little bit more broken in. It's easier to get the loaf out. If it's a new basket, it's a little bit stiffer. Therefore, you can't get the bread out. Bechamima bekarira, is the loaf warm? Is the loaf cold? If the loaf is warm, it's a little bit harder to handle. If it's cold, a little bit easier. Bidechitia bidisari, is it a wheat loaf or is it a barley loaf? Rashi points out wheat loaves are smoother and therefore again harder to get a grip. Barley is a little bit coarser, therefore easier. Birikika, oh, ba'akusha. Ultimately, again, was it a soft batter, a soft dough, or a hard dough? Again, these all make differences as to how you grip, the loaf. To which the Gemara answers, teku. We're not sure. We'll have to leave it open. I'm going to be Yitzchak by Yosef, I'm going to be Yochanan. So here's what's interesting. Now the Gemara says actually something quite fascinating, which is that everybody's arguing over here about these shiurim. So where do they get these shiurim from? To which the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yochanan, called echad ve'echad ba'atzmo shir. They all went ahead and based the shiurim off their personal experiences. Rashi says, ba'atzmo shir, kama shahaya sho bebiaso. How much, Rosa? Now remember, we're talking about a very defined shir here, right? We're talking about a shir, what we call tchilas bia. Now remember, that means it doesn't include any seduction process. It also doesn't mean the completion of the act, because again, the completion of the act could potentially vary. This over here, the beginning of the act, seems to be, the Gemara says, an easier shir to quantify. And therefore, again, each one of these opinions, drawing off his own life experience, said, this is the amount of time that it takes for the beginning, the initiation of the act of bia. I think he says, but 1 second. Vahika ben Azai de lo nasif. So we'll say, so what about Ben Azai? Ben Azai is quoted in the Brice, and Ben Azai did not marry. But we'll say, if you remember again, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. We learn this. This is what's amazing. We've seen this sugya. He wants to Vahika ben Azai de lo nasif. Kidamar bi Yavamas. Avama and Emma Asa. Shenafshi chashka betora. Remember again, Ben Azai was the one who said, I can't leave the Beis Medrash. I can't leave the Beis Medrash. I can't take on the responsibility of a wife. I can't take on the responsibility of children. Nafshi chashka b'Torah. My soul is in love with Torah. So remember again, the Gemara questioned Ben Azai, and the Gemara said Ben Azai's approach is not an acceptable approach for the masses, but ultimately was acceptable for someone like Ben Azai. So how could Ben Azai weigh in on this conversation if he wasn't married, and if everyone else, again, is basing on their own experiences? I mean, he raises a couple of eyebrows if Ben Azai is going to comment on this. To which the Gemara says, Ipais Ema, Nasivu Pirish Shava. So remember, I know you remember, there is another opinion about Ben Azai, that who did Ben Azai marry? He married Rabbi Akiva's daughter. So, and Ben Azai married Rabbi Akiva's daughter, and Rabbi Akiva's daughter did the same thing that her mother did. Just like her mother was Moser Nefesh for Torah, and allowed her father, meaning Rabbi Akiva, Rachel's husband, to go off and learn for many years. So the daughter who married Ben Azai also did the same thing for her husband. So they got married, but essentially they were separated. So therefore Ben Azai was able to weigh in on this on a personal level as well. We'll say, and again, others say that what he learned it from his Rebbe. He's not articulating his own Shita, but rather, again, he's just, I don't know what's going on that back table over there, but cut it out. There's too many smiles about this here. Right? So now, so what happens? So Vibai Seymi Rabbe Shigale. Others say that what? That he heard it from his Rebbe. So the Gemara says, Vibai Seymi Rabbe. Now, this is actually quite fascinating. Again, another thing for our list for the future. The other possibility is Sod Hashem Liyareyav. So we'll say this, the other possibility is that the secrets of Hashem are known to those who fear Him. We'll say, in other words, that when someone is rooted in Torah, when someone is a Talmid Chacham, but not just with knowledge, but with the Midos and everything else as well, they understand certain things in the world even without having, you know, a formal knowledge of it. So again, just I'll whet your appetite with this. You know, one of the most fascinating, it's hashkafic, halachic differentiations within different streams of Judaism is the concept of Das Torah. The concept of Das Torah very much is rooted in this concept that some, again, and this is subject for dispute and it's open for discussion. It's not clear one way or the other. But the concept of Das Torah says that a manhig Yisrael, the Jewish leader, and again, when I say Jewish leader, I mean like the leaders of our people, ultimately have a certain level of intuitive understanding that's based in their being fundamentally rooted in Torah. Even though they might not have other areas of expertise, there's a certain knowledge that comes with. So that's the Gemara suggesting over here also. And again, like I said, I'm simplifying a very complex topic, but it's an interesting one, and it's based on this idea. The Gemara is suggesting Ben Azai understands these things without personal experience. Why? Because Sod Hashem L'Reyav, Darshav Avira, Zinin Arulei Mishayid Rabi Ami, Zinin Arulei Mishayid Rabi Asi. So again, I remember, we're going to go back, and we're going to now go into a little bit of Agarat. Listen to this. Kala Ocha Lechem B'lo Netilas Yadayim. This is a very dramatic Gemara. Whoever eats bread without washing his hands, without Netilas Yadayim, Ki'ilu Ba'al Isha Zona. It is as if he's had relations with a harlot. So you probably should probably do it. So the Gemara says, Shina Emar, because the Pasuk says, Ki ba'ad isha zona ad kikar lechem. So we'll say, remember, where does the Gemara get this from? The Gemara gets this from based on the Pasuk in Mishlei. Ki ba'ad, because remember, what does the Pasuk do? The Pasuk links isha zona with a loaf of bread. So therefore, again, the Gemara understands that one who does not wash for bread, ultimately, there's a lapse. I just want to show you something interesting. So you say to yourself, come on, what does one thing have to do with the other? So take a look in the right-hand column. And I want to say, I know, you know, many of us, we miss the rush. We miss the rush from Maseches Nedarim, right? Because the rush was like he was our chavrus, he was our friend. He was mamish there with us every single day. So we don't have the rush, but we do have the Tosfos Shantz on the side. Tosfos Shantz also is another incredible mefarish. So look in the right-hand margin. So look about five lines in. So look what he says. He says, Kala ocha lechem belonat yazdam kilu ba. So what does that mean? Person eats bread without going ahead and washing. It's as if they've had relations with a harlot. That seems a bit extreme. To which the Gemara says, perish. Perish darish lay misseif al reisha b'shvil kikar lechem mischayiv ba'onah shel isha zona. So first of all, the Tosfos Shantz points out they're dashing the Gemara from the end to the front, from the end to the beginning, because ba'ad kikar lechem, because of a loaf of bread, because I don't wash before I eat bread, ki ba'ad isha zona. It's as if I've had relations with the zona. So look what he writes over here. He says, ulahachi medam le isha zona mishum de kisha ocha balon atila havi achila hefker v'zona zu mifkeresi. I'll say, listen to this. What's the whole idea? What's the whole idea with hand washing? What's the whole idea with netilas yadayim? It's the same sort as brachas. The idea is that eating could very easily be an animalistic act, because it's not uniquely human. So animals eat also. So what makes eating uniquely human? What makes it holy? When you put it in the framework of holiness. So how do you put eating in the context and framework of holiness? You wash before you eat. You make a bracha before you eat. If you don't go ahead and make a bracha, or you don't go ahead and wash before you eat bread, then what? Then you're eating essentially is hefker. Then you're eating is just, it's hefker. It's no different than the eating of an animal. Hefkerus. Remember, immorality. Immorality is hefkerus. Immorality is love, is lust, is desire without bounds. So what the Gemara is ultimately saying is, if your food consumption is without bounds, if your food, and that's not an issue of quantity, but if your food consumption is not framed within a framework of holiness, if your food consumption is saying it's animalistic, it's only a matter of time until you give in to your desires in other areas of life as well. An incredible yisod. Amar Rava, Hai ba'ad isha zona, ad kikar lechem. If that's the case, Rava says the positive should have been stated differently. Ba'ad kikar lechem, ad isha zona mi boile. It should have said then what? Then because of the kikar lechem, ultimately one will come to an isha zona. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rava, what it means to say is like this. Rava has a different interpretation. Rava says, Kala ba'al isha zona, l'sof mevakish kikar lechem. The Rava says, he who engages in immorality ultimately will have to ultimately beg for bread. In other words, the Tzibos say, if a person becomes steeped in immorality, they will spend all of their money trying to satisfy their desires to the point that they're impoverished and will have to beg for bread. Whoever is now mezalzel means you're dismissive or disparaging of netilas yadayim. If you look at Rashi says, sha'ochel tamid b'lo netilas yadayim, person eats all the time without washing their hands. Again, this is referring to the Tzedek before bread. So ne'akar min ha'olam, he is uprooted from this world. Look at Rashi, ne'akar da'over al divrei chachamim, because a person is violating the words of the sages. Therefore, chayiv misa dechsev uporitz gedei shechelon nachash. Rabbos, I remember again, you see how the Gemara comes down always very hard on those who violate rabbinic law. Aye, but you say it's rabbinic, it's not biblical. Rabbos, I remember again, rabbinic law is our safety net. Rabbinic law is what ensures that we do not chas v'shalom violate the biblical precepts of the Ribbono shel Olam. If a person is dismissive of rabbinic law, it is only a matter of time until they trample upon biblical law as well. Therefore, again, Chazal always have very sharp words for those who are dismissive of rabbinic law. Again, I told you yesterday what's amazing about this Masechta, it's the constant vacillation and back and forth between halacha and agarata, halacha and agarata. It's amazing, which tells you also something very important, that even when we learn agarata, agarata always comes with either halachic or more often moral ethical implications as well. Next halacha, amarav mayim rishonim, and this is halacha lemaisa, tzarech shiyagbia yadav lemala, mayim achronim tzarech shiyashbia yadav lemata. Both say when you wash your hands before a meal, after washing, before drying, it is important to keep your hands lifted up in an upright position. My machronim, which again, you know, my machronim today, so some still wash my machronim, others don't wash my machronim. My machronim was a halacha, well, again, without getting into everything, when there was a presence of melach stomus, this type of caustic salt that if it touched your eyes, you would go blind. Today we don't have melach stomus, so some still wash my machronim because the Shulchan Aruch discussed it because of nikios, just because of cleanliness, but others do not. In any event, when my machronim was a din, tzarech shiyashba yodav lamata, after wash my machronim, you have to have your hands extended downwards. So the Gemara says, Tayin amihachi, we're going to discuss why is this. Hanoti yodav tzarech shiyashba yodav lamata, when you wash, let's say before bread, you have to lift your hands up. Why? Because what's the issue? When you wash your hands before your meal, so the issue over here is like this. Remember, one of the reasons we wash twice is because the first waters that come in contact with my hands are tameh, because the hands are always considered to be what we call shnios, are always rabbinically tameh. So when I go ahead and I wash, those first waters are tameh. The issue is like this. If I go ahead and I hold my hands down, it's possible that some of the water, let's say, went beyond my wrist, and now it's going to come down and trickle down my hands again, which could, so to speak, be metameh, re-metameh the hands. Therefore, after I wash, I dafka want to hold my hands up, so that again, the waters, no waters that come from here, like I'm ready for sir, I'm prepping for my su'udah, right, so that I'm going ahead and I want to make sure that any waters that trickle down this way and don't come down here. My machronim, on the other hand, remember, my goal is I want the waters off my hands, because in the event that there is any melech stomus left there, I want it off, so therefore I hold my hands in a downward position so that the waters trickle off. That you should know is halacha l'maaseh. That's why you'll see, by the way, interestingly enough, some have the custom that after they wash, they say, su'u yedeichem kodesh u'baruch hu es Hashem. So remember, literally, lift up your hands. Now, happens to be that the Shulchan Aruch is against that practice. Shulchan Aruch says, because it's a hefsik. It's not really, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, it's not really a hefsik, because again, remember, hefsik is only something extraneous to the matter at hand. It's not extraneous. So again, if you have that minog, to keep it. If you don't have that minog, don't introduce it. You know, but that's the idea. Just the lifting up comes from this gemara. We learned this in brachos already.
If you wash twice, what concern is when you go back in the
meantime? If you washed,
even if you were washing twice, you're washing
two, yeah, because again, it's possible that some of the first waters went beyond the wrist as well. Again, it's a chashash. You know, I would say this, if somebody went ahead and didn't hold their hands up, you don't have to wash again. But the Maisa was trying to structure it in the right way. So the Gemara goes weiter. I'm Rabbi Abba. Bosei, ever eats bread without properly drying his hands. So remember, this is now the opposite end. I've washed. Now that but I had not properly dried my hands. Kilo ochel lechem tomei. It's as if he's eaten impure bread. So we'll say, so again, the Gemara says over here, interestingly enough, again, so this could be in a literal sense, like we just said before, because some of the tummy waters may actually touch the bread. But remember, when we saw this in Maseches Brachos, this is something different. The Chazal took a special case. See, we don't appreciate this as much today because we live in a very disposable society. You know, inevitably from every meal we end up throwing things away. In the eyes of Chazal, the notion of throwing away food was unheard of. And food was treated with respect. So the notion of touching bread with wet hands, which could compromise the quality of the loaf, in the eyes of Chazal was sinful. It was mamash sinful. It's as if you're being metame the bread. Umay ve'eshasish nefesh yikaratat. So I'm supposed to say, what's the meaning of the pasuk? The Gemara quotes the pasuk from Mishle. This is the end of that pasuk. Ki ba'adi shazona ad kikar lechem. The end of the pasuk is ve'eshasish, literally translated, a married woman, nefesh yikara tatsud, will entrap even a precious soul. What does that mean? So this is amazing. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, kol adam shiish bo gasas haruach, lebasof nikshal ve'eshasish. Listen to this. Teaches you that any man who is arrogant at the end will commit adultery. Shene emar ve'eshes ish nefesh shikara tatsud. Because the pasuk says, a married woman, nefesh shikara, which the Gemara refers to over here as arrogant, right? Is self-inflated, right? So an arrogant nefesh tatsud will be entrapped. Both say it's an incredible yisod. What's the meaning of this? When a person is arrogant, right? So what's the hallmark of arrogance? Everything is for me. Everything is about me, which means I should be able to have whatever I want. It belongs to someone else. I'm more important than anyone else. So I said, the Gemara says a person who is arrogant ultimately will break down the walls of morality as well. Amar Rava, but if that's the case, hai nefesh shikara nefesh kavoa mi bayale. Pasuk shouldn't say nefesh shikara, it should say nefesh kavoa, which is a more accurate terminology for sota. Va'od, he tatsud mi bayale. And also ultimately it should say he tatsud. Ela Amar Rava, rather, what it means is the following. Whoever chas shalom commits adultery, afilu lama Torah, even if he learned a lot of Torah, d'chsevba yikarehi mipninin, where it says, the Torah is more precious than precious jewels, than beautiful jewels, and mikoin galosh nichlas lefnaivalifnim. So if a person learned a lot of Torah, upon about which it is said, that it is more precious than pearls. And even if this person was as great as the Kohen Gadol, who went to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, nevertheless, he titzudena l'dino shel Gehenom. This act of immorality, this act of adultery, will drag him down for the judgment of Gehenom. Well, so in other words, that there are, remember again, there are certain things that are just, again, I want to point out, a person could do tshuva for adultery also. There is tshuva for adultery. But the idea is that what's so powerful, negatively powerful about the sin of the eyes of Chazal is, remember, you're not just, if I commit an aver, I go in and I eat chazer, that's between me and the Ribono Shel Olam. Person Chas Hashanah commits adultery, they've impacted three people. They've impacted themselves, they've impacted the woman, and they've impacted the husband. A sin like that, that ruins lives, multiple lives, Chazal understood, again, the Pasuk understood, had such incredible severity. Listen to this. Any person who's arrogant, kilu oveit avodos kochavim. But say arrogance is tantamount to worshipping idolatry. Ksiv hacha, tovas Hashem kol gvalev. It says over here, it is an abomination to God, any person who is arrogant. Uksiv hasav lo savito evos el beisecha. And the pasuk says here, you shall not bring any abomination to your home, a reference to idolatry. But say, and again, we understand, because when a person is arrogant, so there's no, we're going to see that tomorrow's daf, we're going to see, tomorrow's daf is all about arrogance. So we're going to see, literally a person is arrogant, life is all about them. It's as if you're worshipping idolatry. Rabbi Yochanan didei amar, kilu kafar be'ikar. If a person is arrogant, it's as if they deny the existence of God. Shne'emar, veram levavcha, your heart will become high. In other words, you'll go ahead and become arrogant. V'shachach tu'as Hashem elokecha, and you will forget God. Rabbi Chama bar Hanina amar, kilu ba kol ha'rayos. Person is arrogant, it's as if they have violated every moral law. It's as if they've had relations with all the forbidden women. Ksiv hacha, tovas Hashem kol gavalev. It says over here, it is an abomination to God, every arrogant heart. Ksiv hasam, ki eskala tovos hakel. Ha'el, excuse me. And again, it says over here, all of these abominations. Ula amar, kilu bana bama. Ula says, if you're arrogant, it's as if you built a bama. We'll say bama is a personal altar, which is aser. Shnei Amar, chadlu lachem mina adam, asher neshama ba'apo. Now, interestingly enough, the pasuk he's quoting over here is the pasuk from Yeshaya. So it's chidlu lachem mina adam, asher neshama ba'apo, ki bameh nechshavu. So the Navi is telling them, why are you getting so arrogant? What do you think? Who do you think you are? Bameh nechshavu. So the Gemara says, atikri bameh ela bama. My yad liyad lo yinake. What does it mean? Again, literally, yad liyad, from hand to hand, he will not be cleansed. Amarava, kolaba ish es ish. Anyone who chas shom commits adultery, afilu hiknala kadosh baruch hu shemayim va'aretz k'avraham avinu. Even if he's someone who has been granted by God heaven and earth like Avraham Avinu, d'chsev be harimosi adi al Hashem kel al yon kone shayim va'aretz. So even if someone is as great as Avraham Avinu, that they've literally been given shlita, dominance over. Domination over the heaven and the earth. Nevertheless, lo yinakim medina shel gehenim. They will not be cleansed from the din of gehenim. Kashya lohu ledebe Rabbi Shila. Hayad liyad lo yinakeh. Yadi mi boile. So if that's the case, why does it say yad liyad? It should say yadi, my hand. Elo amri debe Rabbi Shila. Afilu kibel Torah kimoshe Rabbeinu. But say, even if a person was as great that they received the Torah like Moshe Rabbeinu, tichsiv bei mimino ish das lamo, literally in his right hand, he received the fiery law, lo yinakeh medino shel gehenim. But say, even if a person is as great as Moshe Rabbeinu that he received it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nevertheless, he will not be saved from the judgment of Gehenna because of adultery. To which the Gemara says, hai yad liyad, yad mi yad mi boile. If that's the case, then why does the pasuk say yad liyad? It should even say what? Yad mi yad. Even if you are the type of person who received in his hands from the Ribono Shel Olam, Mamish the Torah itself, if a person committed adultery, they will not be saved from Gehenna. El Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, "Afilu asat tzedaka b'seiser." Even if a person was so great that what he gave tzedaka b'seiser, but say we know that it's interesting. People think the highest form of tzedaka is to give anonymously. Interestingly enough, that's not the highest form of tzedaka. The highest form of tzedaka is to give someone a job. That is the highest form of tzedaka. Or actually, the Shcholar Paskins in Yerdeya, that the highest form of tzedaka is to give someone a matana even before they need it. Right? So anticipatory tzedaka. But again, if you actually have to give someone charity, so the best way to give that is b'seiser, is quietly, is anonymously. So the Gemara says, even if a person was such a bal chesed that he gave tzedaka anonymously, Matan b'seiser yichape af, because the pasuk says literally giving a gift in quiet, giving tzedakah in quiet will literally extinguish divine anger. Nevertheless, lo yinakim adino shegehenam. Chas v'shalom, if a person commits adultery, they will not be saved ultimately from the din of Gehenam. We'll say tremendous yashar koach. We made good headway today. We're going to stop over here. I want to share with you just a brief parsha thought.